Chapter 23.
I really hope Sen's ready for this, Staven said. He and Iden were piloting the vessel while Del monitored Sen and Sidori through the eyes of the droid. Me too, Del replied. She seems pretty sharp, though, and Sidori seems to have it under control. It amused him to see Staven worried about a professional nav-int supervisor handling an undercover mission. So far, Sen was blending in better and learning more than any member of the squad. And to think they all originally thought of her as the rookie. They had backup plans, of course. They always did. But even as Staven expressed his reservations, he didn't seem overly concerned.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, sweetheart, Del said into the comlink. Did they give you any trouble with your metroid?
No, I'm okay,
Sen said.
Feeling great. So much to see here.
Can't wait to hear all about it, he said. Keep me posted. He clicked off his comlink. To Staven, he said, they're in. Got the droid through no problem, and they've assembled the bomb. You know, Staven said, the Empire is enormous and complex. Sometimes they're very, very clever. Sometimes they're just stupid and miss the obvious things. Can't even catch a pair of teenagers smuggling in a bomb. That hadn't escaped Del's notice either. When the team had completed its mission, they would have an earful for Admiral Versio about how much tighter some security needed to be. But then again, by the time they returned, the Dreamers would be no more and the Rebel Alliance was too crippled by its own moral code to push a similarly violent agenda. Its leaders would be as horrified about what was about to unfold as the Empire. As, if he admitted the truth, Del himself was. Staven hadn't really warmed up to anyone from Inferno Squad other than Gideon. And ever since they'd lost Nadrine and Kaeve, he'd just gotten grimmer. There wasn't much chit-chat to pass the time while they waited for the school trip to run its course. So Del leaned back in his chair, laced his hands behind his head, and closed his eyes, trying to focus on something other than the slaughter about to come. In his mind's eye, he saw glowing purple crystals. The factory was clean, shiny, bright, and utterly imperial. The students were appropriately impressed. They seemed thrilled to be here today, chatting, laughing, and taking vids in areas where they were permitted to do so. There were no more stormtroopers, just guards and a few engineers on the site to answer questions. Sen, again, attracted unwanted notice because of the droid. A couple of the students exclaimed over it, their envy turning to sympathy when Sen explained that it was for her medical condition.
Oh, I'm really sorry to hear that, said a girl who reminded Sen uncomfortably of Nadrine. Can you have chocolate?
I got some for my birthday. Chocolate was a rarity in this part of the galaxy, and Sen demurred.
Oh, no, I couldn't take that.
You must be new at school, and that's never fun. Especially when you're...
Huh, if you need a medical droid.
I'm Anise, the girl said. Go on, have a piece, or else my kid brother will eat it all when I get home.
Sen went very still. Anise would never get home.
You eat one for me right now, and tell me how delicious it is, she said, forcing a smile.
Twist my arm,
Anise joked, and popped one in her mouth.
It really is so good. You sure you don't want one?
She offered again.
It's more fun watching you,
Sen said. She hung back as the group filed into the next room. She didn't want to make any more idle conversation with the fiery-haired, freckled Anise. After what felt like forever, their guide said,
Well, that's all for today, kids. It's time to go into the reception area where you'll get to meet and chat with General Toshin and our own Moff Deksha.
Up at the far end of the room was what was obviously the main table for the visiting dignitaries. It was set with fine linens, plates, and dining utensils. Exquisite decanters sat at the ready for a luncheon that would never come. And for a wild, nearly hysterical moment, Sen wondered if they contained Tonere wine. It would be macabrely ironic if so.
Do you think you can get there safely? Sidori whispered. She considered. The droid might be able to, but even as she had the thought, two other serving droids came out from the side doors, bearing various non-alcoholic libations and appetizers.
No, she said, but I can probably get near the end of one of the regular tables. That will more than suffice. I'll go get everything ready.
Toward the beginning of the tour, she had asked to visit the restroom to
get my medication from the droid.
There, she had retrieved all the necessary material to affix their personal bombs. She'd attached hers to her chest and given the components to Sidori, who'd headed off to the restroom to attach his own bomb. Now, she politely asked a guard where the restroom at this end of the building was. Once she was alone, she quickly opened the droid's casing, removed the parts for the deceptively small third bomb, and assembled it quickly. She paused as she prepared to set the timer. She went over everything the bomb's detonation was supposed to accomplish.
Delay the factory opening?
Yes. That troubled her not at all. Kill them off, the general and a handful of aides? That was a difficult one. But Admiral Versio had warned Inferno Squad that such deaths were acceptable in the name of eliminating the partisans and preventing future attacks. But Moff Deksha and General Toshin wouldn't be the only Imperials dying. Sen thought of Anise, with her artless and complete generosity. With her unknown brother and her parents of nearly 400 other noisy, laughing, fascinated students, who were just kids. Sen stayed in the restroom for a long, long time thinking. She made her decision, and then she set the timer. Sidori threw her a relieved glance when she emerged.
I was worried, he said, slipping his arm around her briefly. You okay?
Yes, she said firmly. For the first time since the mission had started, she really was. The timer's set.
That gives us 5 minutes from when you activate it. It looks like everyone's here. Let's head over. I'll distract people. They took glasses of sweet, bubbly beverages from the serving droids and sipped as they made their way to the end of one of the far tables, within 2 meters of the head table, where the dignitaries would be celebrating their luncheon. With Sidori's frame blocking her from view, Sen slipped the bomb, carefully, out of her sleeve and passed it to the droid.
Hey, Dad, she said on her comlink. Not feeling so good. Can you come pick me up?
Be right there.
Sen took a breath.
Under the table, in the center. Set for 15 minutes, then get on my back, she whispered to the ID-10.
The droid booped, dipped until it was level with the table, and did as it was told. Then, its mission accomplished, it resettled itself on her back.
Now!
She and Sidori moved through the crowd as quickly as they could without drawing attention, pointedly not making eye contact. Sidori was like the prow of an old-fashioned watership, parting the cluster of teenagers with Sen following, gripping his hand hard, her heart slamming against her chest. They reached the hallway, heading toward the exit door, and then they were outside, putting distance between themselves and the building as fast as they could. The shuttle would be here in any minute. And then Sidori slowed. Confused, he looked back at the factory.
It should have detonated by now, he said.
Detonated. Killing everyone in the banquet hall. Killing nearly 400 innocent Imperial subjects who'd done nothing other than be born on this planet and attend school here. Sen reached for his hand.
I'm sure it's okay, she said.
He hung on to her hand, but still looked back. She tugged.
They're landing, she said. Sidori, come on, let's go. The bomb's still going to go off.
But he was shaking his dark head. Something's wrong. The bomb's a dud. It wasn't a dud. It was functioning perfectly. Functioning with a 15-minute delay, not five, so that the excited students would have a chance to pile into their shuttle and talk the whole way back about what they'd seen. So that Anise's brother could steal her candy.
Sidori,
she said, begging. The young Kagi turned to her and gently grasped her upper arms. His eyes were wide,
And it was strange, so strange to see them brown and not their warm, softly radiant pink.
Sen,
he said, and his voice trembled.
I've been fighting my whole life. So have my family, all my people. I fought so that one day I wouldn't have to fight anymore.
I fought for that future. I believe in it, and I have to do everything I can to make sure that future happens. He couldn't be saying what she thought he was. Frightened in a way she'd never been before, Sen reached up and put her hands on his cheeks, smudging the cosmetic peach tones and revealing his pale gray skin. Wanting to see his skin, his eyes.
Satori, it's fine. It's fine. Stay with me.
Her voice cracked on the last word.
Stay with me 10 more minutes and those children live, she thought. Stay with me 10 more minutes and you live. Stay with me.
I don't mind, he said softly, sadly. I just wish... I wish that future could have been with you. And then he pressed his lips to hers, kissing her first tentatively and then passionately. As she returned the kiss with urgency, she clung to him, absurdly thinking she could hold on tight enough to keep him there. But then the cool air rushed in to fill the sudden space between their bodies, and he was gone, racing faster on those strong, long legs than she could ever hope to run. Futilely, stupidly, Sen tried to catch him, shouting his name until she tripped and hit the ground hard and was scooped up by Del, who had seemingly materialized out of nowhere.
What the hell happened?
Screamed Staven, his face flushed a deep, angry red, both fury and fear in his eyes, as Del rushed into the ship with Sen in his arms.
The bomb was defective,
Sen should have lied.
Satori went back to fulfill the mission.
Instead, she couldn't speak. Her hand went to her chest, where her own last resort bomb was affixed. Where Sidori's was.
Satori,
she thought.
I'm so sorry.
The ship took off right as the factory exploded. Less than a minute later, the bomb Sen had delayed also detonated. Through eyes blurred with either grief or joy or perhaps both, Sen looked down through the viewport as hundreds of tiny figures escaped to safety. The next few days were a blur. Sen had never seen Sidori's parents display much emotion. And at first, when the ship had returned to Geosyn and Staven had to tell them the unthinkable, they had seemed stunned and only nodded. They were composed and even kind to Sen, wrapping her in a blanket and sitting her down by the heater to prevent her from going into shock, even as they themselves quietly, unobtrusively did so. The debriefing was stunningly calm. Later, Sen realized why. There was no shock of betrayal around this death, as there had been with Nadrine and Kay Eves. There was no fury or graphic violence to inflame darker, baser emotions, as there had been with Azen's interrogation, or more properly, execution. Sidori, the joy of Rue and Halia Vushan's lives, he, whom they loved so much they seldom let him out of their sight, had died a courageous death, completing a vital mission when equipment failed. In the eyes of a dreamer, he was a hero. It made something inside her, something Sen had never even known was there, retreat, like a small animal hiding in its burrow. She stuck to the story, yes. She had been careful, yes. She had instructed the droid to set the timer to 5 minutes. No, she hadn't noticed that anything was wrong with the timer or the bomb. Yes, she had tried to dissuade Sidori from sacrificing himself. And yes, that had been wrong of her, as it wasn't the dreamer's way. Yes, she was proud of Sidori and would always remember him. Yes, Sidori Vushan was a hero. Sen was not sure which was worse, that Sidori had died, or that he had done so trying to ensure that 400 students had died with him. Then Del and Pia Kao were grilled about their preparation of the bomb.
They had done everything right, they claimed, and had double-checked each other's work. Steven was frustrated. He did not blame anyone for what had, in the end, simply been a horrible disaster.
"No one owns luck," he said.
"We've had some good and we've had some bad. This wasn't anyone's fault. Simply bad luck. We just have to make sure that Sidori didn't die in vain."
Aiden arranged to meet Sen for a walk as soon as possible. The two women walked off from the encampment, arms folded, heads close together. Aiden felt the sympathy from the others as they watched them, close enough to observe, not close enough to hear what they said. "What really happened out there?" Aiden asked in a low voice. "Del is afraid he missed something." "No," Sen said. Her voice was flat, and her eyes stared out into the distance, but her voice sounded calm and in control.
"I take responsibility."
"What do you mean?"
"I made a decision on the spot to delay the timer. It would still explode. Still kill Toshin and Deksha, and do some serious damage to the facility. But it would go off after the students were out of the building."
Aiden felt for her. Gently, she said, "We discussed this. It was a necessary sacrifice."
"I thought so too, until I was there," Sen said. "These are innocent children of the Empire, almost 400 of them. The Dreamers still made their point. I didn't stop the event, just altered it."
Aiden started to piece it together. "And Sidori didn't know you delayed the timer. He went back."
"He activated his own bomb."
There was no trace of emotion on Sen's face. Aiden groped for words. She'd seldom felt so helpless. "It's not what was ordered. But I can't say that I'm sorry the students survived." Sen pressed her lips together. Then, to Aiden's shock, buried her face in her hands. Aiden felt a frisson of apprehension. For the first time, Aiden felt a real worry that Sen might not be up to this. The rest of the team had all had up-close and personal combat experience. Sen had sat in dark offices watching vid screens, listening to multiple different conversations in multiple different languages, and studying dossiers. Most of her field experience had been in simulators. She'd never been forced to make the hard choices, like whether to save 400 students or watch someone you knew, maybe even genuinely cared for, run headlong away from you to blow himself up. And she'd been the one to order Sen to pretend to be romantically interested in Sidori.
"He kissed me,"
Sen said it bluntly. Another shock rumbled through Aiden, like a ground-shake tremor of emotion.
"Right before he ran back in, I tried to stop him from going, and he was just faster. I'll never be able to stop seeing it,"
Sen said, her voice soft, almost a whisper. Aiden's jaw clenched, trying to find a place of common ground. "We all know a little something about that," she said kindly. Sen's head came up. There were still tears in her eyes, but she was angry.
"No, you don't."
"Sen, I've..."
"I don't care what you've experienced or what anyone else on the team has experienced. You're not me."
Aiden tried again. "Sen, I..." Sen waved a hand to silence her.
"Shut up, just shut up. You, Del, Gideon, you'll forget what you've seen eventually. Not all of it. But time will soften it and it'll lose some of its punch. You'll forget some of the details, but I won't. I can't."
Sudden sympathetic horror filled Aiden as she understood what the younger girl was trying to say. Sen had an eidetic memory. If Aiden or Hask or Del relived something awful that had occurred in their lives, it would eventually fade. At least somewhat. Not so for Sen. Whenever she thought about the events of that day, Sen would see them, not through the softening gauziness of distant memory, but as if it were all happening right in front of her, all over again. All because of her choice.
"Oh, Sen," Aiden said. "I'm sorry."
She was, but there was nothing she could do. Sen would have to bear this burden alone. For a long moment, they stood,
their faces rendered different silvery shades of gray-white by dusk's light and lichen light. Aiden looked at her team member, her friend, and in her mind's eye, she saw the kind, gray face of Sidori. They stood there a long time.